This is the Sports Machine with Slim's expert NCAA college basketball tournament preview. I might need to shorten that up a little bit for the website. It's a long link name, but you're going to get a ton of knowledge there. You want to learn about college basketball? Do you know nothing? Are you trying to fill out brackets and just taking other people's advices? Are you flipping coins? Are you just like going with the mascots' names that are dogs? Last year, I hear that strategy worked out extremely well. Well, we're going to give you knowledge. How about that? How about you get a little bit smarter today? Welcome to the Sports Machine with Slim. And I'm not alone in studio. I have help here. One voice you will find familiar, MBD, as I am now calling him. My brother Dave is in studio. What do you say, Dave?
I say good morning. It's nice to be here and actually get the chance to experience this fine studio in person.
Yes, is it overwhelming to you?
Overwhelming, underwhelming. I'm not quite sure what word I would use, but it is whelming.
Whelming. And we have a mystery guest here, expert, as I will call him. I refer to you as expert if you'd like to be called that, sir. What would you like to me to refer to you as?
Baker's fine.
Baker
Keep
is fine.
Simple.
Okay, well, that's how I know you in general.
Expert is good. I've
never called you expert outside of this room, so I suppose that I don't need to now. But if you wanted me ever to, you could utilize this as your opportunity for me to call you expert. No.
Yeah, I don't know about expert, but I got some takes on some games here, and we'll see what we can do.
Well, where should we start for everybody? Let's bring the most amount of knowledge in the shortest amount of time. I want you people out there listening to this Sports Machine with Slim NCAA College Basketball Tournament Preview special and learn something right out of the gate. Who's the most vulnerable one seed? My brother Dave, go.
In my opinion, it's Purdue. They've lost to a 13, 15, and 16 seed the last 3 years. I have no reason to have high expectations for them. I know a lot of people do, but I think they're very vulnerable again this year.
Baker?
I'd probably agree with Purdue. I don't see Houston going all the way either, but I would say that they're not going to have a hard time in the first game.
So I'm hoping to find synergy amongst the three of us to be able to share. Sometimes we're going to disagree, obviously. People that are listening, if you're using our knowledge, which you should be, to fill out your brackets, you're going to want to find some common themes. I'm right with you, Baker. Houston, Purdue, I'm throwing them out. I'm just looking, how early could they possibly lose? Where do you see both of those teams going out? I mean, is it first round? Purdue going to lose to a 16 seed again this year?
I don't see Houston losing in the first round, but their second round matchup with either Nebraska or Texas A&M, I could easily see Texas A&M beating them.
And why do you think Texas A&M, they're in the SEC, you like the SEC conference, or what? Let's drill down from there.
So I definitely disagree. Dave and I have a different take. Dave's kind of anti-SEC, and I'm kind of more, I like a lot of the teams from the SEC, and it could be just I think you see them on TV a lot more, so you get certain teams that you like. But, I mean, I have a little bias towards A&M. I just see A&M, Houston, they're basically like the same team to me. Both teams can play strong defense, both up and down teams, good athletes, not huge. I see that as a very close game. Like, I'd have that as probably Houston by 5. If it's Texas A&M. I could see Texas A&M having a hard time with Nebraska. So,
Dave, what's your thoughts with Houston and with Purdue? Where do you see those teams going out?
Yeah, I don't think Purdue's going to struggle this year in the first round, but I definitely think they can in the second round. I think that Utah State or TCU, I like TCU. I think we've talked about this on previous shows. They have a win over 3 teams currently ranked in the top 14. I know that their overall schedule is relatively tough. They're out of a deep Big 12 conference. So I like teams that have high upside. They maybe don't always play their best, but I think TCU is very dangerous to Purdue. If they do win that first round game, I think that TCU is going to beat Purdue in that second round.
Okay, so that's your take right here. All three of us are pretty much saying there's no value in picking either Houston or Purdue to get past the round of 32. I mean, we're all kind of saying second round, we could see those two one seeds struggling, which is funny to me because if you watch every other or listen to every other NCAA tournament preview special, they're all penciling these number one seeds in. It seems like to go to the Final Four or at least the Elite Eight. I mean, for the stuff you've watched, Dave, what's the most common theme that you think is being pronounced out there and you just find an objection to?
Yeah, I think the fact that all these one seeds are going to advance their way into the Final Four. I mean, everybody's bracket right now on every show that I watch, they have at least three one seeds, if not all four. I mean, the one that they want to throw out is North Carolina. And I think North Carolina's path to the Final Four is probably the easiest of all four one seeds, which is so that doesn't make much sense to me. You know, but in the I think it's been 2008, I think it's been 16 years since all four one seeds made it to the Final Four. And like last year, there were no one seeds there. So when these people put in their brackets together with all these one seeds, well, I mean, yeah, it looks good and it might be the most logical thing. But in a one-game scenario, you have to look and say, well, which team, if they get there, is a matchup problem? And I think that Purdue, Houston, and then UConn with Auburn are all going to have potential matchup problems on their path to the Final Four.
Bam. Dropping knowledge. We're 5 minutes into this preview special, and you're getting the stat there that no number one seeds made the Final Four last year. Yet everybody else you're hearing voices from regarding this year's tournament is telling you, oh, the number one seeds, almost all of them, are going to make the Final Four. Ridiculous. I'm not saying we're smarter than everybody else, Baker, but I kind of am. What's your thoughts here on the show preview stuff that you've seen from other locations and what the people are telling us that maybe is just like they're trying to convince us of something that's not going to be true?
Well, I try not to watch any of those other shows.
Because you're smarter than all of them.
Well,
you believe this.
Maybe. But I don't like to get influenced by like other people's stuff too much. Even like sometimes talking to Dave. I don't want to talk too much to Dave.
Do you listen to my radio show, The Sports Machine, with Slim at all, or do you just not listen because you don't want my filth to infect you?
No, I listen to The Sports Machine for sure. And you haven't done really anything with college hoops too much.
Well, early in the year, I will say I did like Arizona. When the show was starting out, I think Arizona was my pick. Then I jumped on Tennessee, but now I've jumped on them like that wagon was on fire and I got to get out and put myself out. I cannot take Tennessee. I mean, looking at my bracket, I do have them to go to the Sweet 16, but then Creighton to railroad them. I just don't think Tennessee's got the shooting and the speed. I love Dalton Connect, but you know, so I guess what I'm saying is my takes thus far have been bad ones, or at least ones I now disagree with.
Yeah, I mean, we're all going to look pretty stupid at the end of this anyways, because it's very difficult. I mean,
I'm inviting you in here to tell people about the perfect bracket. What do you mean?
The perfect bracket, yep.
There's millions of
I mean, and it's tough. I think Dave and I were talking earlier about, you know, last year there was so many upsets and low seeds in the Final Four and even the Final Eight. And this year we could see a return to the Blue Bloods just trying to, you know, get the tournament back, get some ratings back up and whatnot like that.
Had a lot to do? The refs, this is what nobody talks about this with the refs, is in one day you're getting literally 16 games, and then the next day you're getting 16 games. That's 32 games. Each reffing crew has three dudes, right? So multiply 32 games by three. You got 96 refs going on out there. First of all, they ain't all good. And second of all, you don't know where their allegiances lie and how many out of 96 might have some friends that they told about their strategy heading into the game. So there are a lot of variables. Last year, do you think the refs had an impact, Baker, on why no number one seeds made it to the Final Four?
I mean, there was certainly some questionable games throughout the tournament. I mean, I've seen a couple watching the ACC tournament this year. You know, and I know Dave's big on North Carolina. I like North Carolina as well. I think Duke and North Carolina in that ACC tournament get crazy. I just think they get much better reffing than it's just tilted in their favor for some reason. And that's just, you know, watching the games, that's kind of what I gather. I saw the BC Virginia game. I thought was the worst ref game that I've seen in a long time. I mean, it was
Oh, the coach of Boston, Earl. I wrote it down because I really like what I've seen from Boston College. With 25 seconds left, he tore off his suit coat and slammed it to the floor because a Boston College Eagle got a foul called when they simply were going after a loose ball. It was a totally loose ball. He had the advantage. There was body contact, but this should never have been a foul. And it was like a tie game at that point. And the coach maintained it. I said, I like that coach, but you know, throwing the jacket showed exactly how mad he was.
No, he was mad, and you could see that the refs turned on him quick. He hadn't said anything the whole game, and they turned on him, like, immediately. Like, who are you to come
question
at us?
That call.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, I mean, BC's a newer team to the ACC. You're Virginia, North Carolina, Duke, that whole area. I just think they get a better whistle than
the whistles.
Them. I think sometimes Miami gets a bad whistle down in that turn. In
there's
that
something to think
well,
about, so. The whistles and which teams NCAA wants to win and move forward. We'll pick up on that here when we return from this commercial. You're listening to a special NCAA tournament preview, The Sports Machine with Slim Style, WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester, nhtalkradio.com. Let's learn a thing or two about college basketball today. Coaching, conferences, the players, the referees. Little discussed topic on NCAA preview shows, but you're getting it right here on The Sports Machine with Slim, and you're getting the opinions of a couple of experts. Baker's in studio, my brother Dave, and I know, Dave, you wanted to talk a little bit about the reffing and some of the changes maybe and stuff you see come tournament time.
Yeah, I mean, just to follow up on last year's tournament and then looking at this year's tournament, the first four play-in game last night featured Wagner and Howard. I mean, 1 minute into the game, and I can't even think of his name off the top of my head, but the leading scorer for Wagner has his man in the post. He backs him into the paint. Guy from Howard takes a fall. They call an offensive foul. You know, and those are 50-50 calls. Those are the calls that I think impact games. Those are the calls that fans look at and they are angry with at the end of games or the end of tournaments. But those are judgment calls. So I do think that last year there were some judgment calls that went the way of the teams that were losing. I felt like the NCAA last year made it known that, hey, we want the games to be somewhat competitive. If a team is down 8 or 10 and there's a 50-50 call, we want to give it to the team that's losing. I just thought that was on the agenda. True or not, I don't know. But, that's a game last night.
It was true. And anybody listening might not understand this. I would notice it every game. I don't know about you, Baker. When a team opened up a 10-point lead, there was an immediate bad call against them every single game that happened.
Yeah. I would say a lot of that, similar to like a hockey where you get one power play and then you know the other team's eventually going to get the other power play.
They want to keep the games close. It's better for ratings. It's better for money and everything until
all the favorites lose.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened. They all took the choke as the games remained close. The teams that were favored to win, boy, it gets hard to win when it's a 4-point game with 3 minutes left and everybody expects you to make the shot. Right? Like, that's the difference between pro basketball players and college basketball players. College teams are filled with a lot of kids that aren't going to go on to play basketball the rest of their lives, and they don't all make those open shots with 2 to 3 minutes left in a tight game. So now, is that going to happen this year with the Blue Bloods? Are they going to keep those games close, or are North Carolina's, Kansas's, Kentucky's, those UConn's? Like, UConn was the only team last year that didn't play in a close game. If you looked at all their scores last year, there's a reason they didn't lose, because they won every game by 20. Like, they didn't even have the opportunity to potentially choke.
Right.
I think that's going to be in play here this year with the Blue Bloods. I think that they're not going to have those 50-50 calls go against them.
Look at the road that UConn had to the finals of that tournament last year. I remember when they were playing St. Mary's, I think in the round of 16, and I was like, wait a second, dude. St. Mary's has no chance to beat this UConn team. And I didn't even really like UConn that much, but there was no chance. UConn got an easy road all the way through. They played San Diego State in the finals. Now, this year, everybody's picking UConn as the best team far and away, and you look at the brackets and you go, wait a second, a lot of people are of the mindset, and I am included in this, that they have a very tough road to make it to the Final Four. Dave, I think, has a disagreement. Which side of the bracket, Baker, are you, out of the four, which do you think is the strongest one?
Which overall region?
Yeah, if you said which number one seed is the toughest road to go through to make it to the Final Four. Because UConn, I'm looking at the Florida Atlantic is who everybody's just kind of expecting is going to get there. I have no idea if they'll win.
I think UConn eventually matching up with Auburn, that's going to be a tough game for them.
And then Iowa State, if Iowa State got there, I mean, Iowa State's going to have a tough time scoring against UConn. I would definitely say that if they played each other. But Iowa State will play some D.
Yeah, Iowa State will D. I mean, UConn, I think what UConn's advantage of over a lot of teams is they can play any style. Like, they can play a faster-paced style. They can play an inside-out style. They have guys that can shoot threes. They make their free throws. And they defend. I mean, of all the teams that I've seen, I would say Houston and UConn, North Carolina, to an extent, of the one seeds, they're super together. Like, they seem to like each other. You watch, you know, UConn play, and they seem to, like, they love their coach. They play for their coach, and they like each other. You know, you'll see a different guy lead them in scoring each game. You know, Tristan Newton is a, I believe he made the All-American team.
He can drain threes.
But he'll have a game where, you know, he shoots eight shots and will have 10 assists and 12 rebounds. And, you know, you'll have that Spencer kid. He'll have a big game. Caravan. They have just many different guys that can
lead
them
and score.
And
they just all work together to get shots for each other. That's the sign of a good team.
Houston, similar. Like, I think Shedd is probably one of the best leaders in all of college basketball, like just a classic college point guard. I don't think he'll be a good pro, but
I think he's very limited on creating his own offense because he's not tall enough and he's not next level quick. He's fast, and he's strong and stout for a shorter guy. Yes, exactly.
He's just a dog.
That's why Houston struggles in some of these games to score because he can't turn the corner, get to the rim, and then finish over big guys in the lane. Dave, what's your opinion on who has the toughest like road to the Final Four out of the one seeds?
So if I had to pick which bracket I think is maybe the deepest, it's probably Houston's. I think Marquette as a two seed is a legit contender to win the national title. I don't feel that way about Tennessee. I don't feel that way about Arizona, and I don't feel that way about Iowa State. Right, so I immediately think that the toughest two seed is in that region. Then they have Kentucky, and if you've been watching a lot of shows, you know that Kentucky's depth, their talent level is probably unmatched in this tournament. Now they're all young, they're all freshmen, but they have a loaded team that if they happen to put it together, they're going to be very difficult for anybody to knock out. I'll tell you, Houston, if they make it to the Elite Eight, the one team they're probably worried about facing is Kentucky because they have that talent level to match up with. So I look at that division. Even Florida is a 7 seed. Now Florida lost their 7-2 big man in the last game of the SEC tournament, which crushed them. But Florida was one of my sleepers until they lost their big guy. So, I mean, now Purdue's bracket has Kansas as a 4. Well, McCullers is out, so Kansas is now no longer a potential winner for me, right? So, like, I'm breaking down the brackets in real time as injuries occur, and right now I think Purdue's bracket, or Houston's bracket's probably the toughest. Purdue's might be the second. UConn, I think, got a sweet path. I think FAU is way overrated. I don't know about Baker's opinion. I didn't think they deserved to make the tournament. And then they got San Diego State, UAB, in that other potential matchup for them in the round of 32. And San Diego State is 10-8 in their last 18 games. I do not think that they're playing great basketball. They're here on reputation and results from last year only, and that's why people think that they're a real threat to UConn. I don't see that UConn can lose before the Sweet 16. So at that point, this is another conversation. If Iowa State and Auburn both are there for UConn in the round of 16 in the Elite Eight, okay, yeah, then the path becomes a whole lot harder for UConn.
Baker, what's your thought on the Mountain West here? Because Dave just kind of threw San Diego State under the bus. The conference gets six teams in, and I know in the first round here of play-in games, you got Virginia being absolutely embarrassed by a Mountain West team, Colorado State. Does that tell you anything about that conference? What's your thoughts?
So, just on a little research on the Mountain West Conference, I think Colorado State is the best team out of all those teams. So, their win over Virginia is good. I mean, I think Virginia's terrible.
Why are you saying Colorado State's the best team? They didn't win the regular season. That was Utah State, right?
They
didn't win their tournament.
They have better wins out of conference, I think. I know they beat Colorado, pretty sure they beat someone else. That overall, that conference, just a couple notes that I have here. So Utah State was the regular season champion. Their best win out of conference was Akron, right, and it was a two-point win. Nevada, no out-of-conference wins. They lost to Drake, in fact, by a lot.
Drake is a cool name.
Yeah, yeah, it's very cool. Boise State, they finished third in that conference. They lost to Clemson, Virginia Tech, Butler. Their only good win is VCU, I would say, out of conference, and that's not even that great of a win.
So who did Colorado State? I shouldn't be asking you. Should know this. I'm sorry. Last night's game, Colorado State, who did they actually beat outside a conference that you like? You know, for you saying they're the best team in the conference, which I'm raising my eyebrows. I didn't have that take here. I'm not hearing that anywhere on any preview specials.
I like their team the best. I mean, if you look at their wins in the conference, that you know they're 10-8 in the conference, so they lost a lot of matchups to those other teams. I just think they have the most talent to advance of those teams. I'm not big on that conference at all though.
Interesting.
I'm just saying that's the one. I think people will take what happened last night by them beating Virginia and extrapolate out to maybe that whole conference being, you know,
everybody
a lot of
is
team. And there's just they got a lot of teams in, but it was really more circumstance than anything.
Well, the issue being Virginia, the way that they play. When they lose, they're going to lose by 20. I don't know if people remember, but it was only in 2018. They lost to a 16 seed by 20 points. They weren't 20 points worse than that team. They were a better team. Just that day and the style that they play, they didn't make any shots. So I don't think that there's any information to be taken away from that win last night by Colorado State.
No, but what I'm taking away from information is Baker's comment that Colorado State's the best team out of the Mountain West, and I'm looking at the scoreboard. They beat Creighton 69-48. So let's go to commercial with you thinking about that statement again. You're getting things here that is just superior to what you're getting on other NCAA tournament specials. WKXL Radio, the Sports Machine with Slim, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. Those are the radio numbers for you. NH Talk Radio is where you catch us online. We'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm going to do a rapid-fire round of questions with our two in-studio college basketball experts. They can't both pick out a perfect bracket, can they? I said Baker was going to, which I didn't mean to insult you, MBD. I mean, maybe you could. Maybe Baker's not going to have the perfect bracket, or maybe he is. What I am going to tell you is that knowledge you're dropping about Colorado State, that changes everything for me. That's a real game changer heading into the tournament games. Now, this is going to be airing. This tournament special will air Thursday from 11 to 12. And then the kickoff of the games are coming here. I mean, the kickoff, tip-off, first pitch, drop the puck, starting in like 10, 15, 20 minutes after this show ends. Find yourself a good seat in a remote control or a pivoting chair that you can turn your head to see all the different TVs that are in the establishment you may or may not be in. Rapid fire questions. Dave, what'd you think about Rick Pitino's decision to not take part in the NIT with St. John's?
I think it depends on what he's doing with his players next year. He made a point of saying that he didn't like the team that he had 6 weeks ago.
I don't want to spend any more time around these guys.
If he's planning on letting a bunch of them enter the transfer portal and go after a bunch of new guys, then why stay with them? Now, if he's looking to develop three or four of those guys, I think he missed an opportunity, right? You might as well get another game, maybe two or three with them, and get the chance to continue to develop them. But I think long-term, he's looking to move on from this team and bring in some of his own players.
Baker, I noticed also that Pittsburgh's coach there, Capel, decided not to do with the NIT as well. And I saw Tom Crean on ESPN, like, lambasting both of those guys. Like, I think this is ridiculous. You don't get enough time to play. It's like, dude, if you were so good, you'd be out there coaching right now if you're such a great coach still. What did you think about, like, that reaction and him getting so angry at that these other coaches and programs are choosing not to play in the NIT? Because I don't know which is the right decision.
Yeah, I mean, I don't understand why you wouldn't want to keep playing, but that's just me. I think if St. John's had played in the NIT, they would have went down early. I think they weren't together as a team.
It's a good last game against UConn, 95-90.
He got them going for sure, but I think they would have had a huge letdown once they didn't get into the tournament.
So isn't there something with the transfer portal? Isn't it already open right now so that the teams that are eliminated, their players can already enter the transfer portal to start that recruitment process? Like as a coach, I believe, I'm pretty sure that has opened or it's going to open here momentarily. And so as a coach, if you know that your players are going to be leaving the program, you probably want to give them access to as many programs as they can. So I don't think that this is all just about Patino. I think there could be a little bit of altruism in his decision to go ahead and end that, but that's, I mean, listen, that's a different conversation. I mean, Patino's a proven coach. Like, he knows what he's doing. I trust his judgment a lot more than I trust Tom Crean.
Exactly. That was true. My point, right? And yeah. I'm looking at, maybe it's a budgetary concern because St. John's isn't a basketball behemoth anymore with tons of money flowing out of things. And I was like, well, wait a second. They're paying Rick Pitino a ton of cash. How expensive is it to get all these dudes lined up on airplanes to fly, to stay, and to travel in the NIT tournament? Are they getting paid back that money, or is this just an additional losing financial expense? And maybe Patino sits down and goes like, dude, we're not going to benefit that much from it. I'd rather utilize those resources on getting new equipment or new stuff in the gym. And, you know, there's not a never-ending money supply, as you can see at some radio stations.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, well, the NIT, they play in, don't they play in Madison Square Garden?
They do.
Most of the games there. So they would have probably had a home game.
Some of them. So you do travel if you're
first,
right.
The first round.
Yeah. The right. First round. Okay, yep. So.
But
I mean, I don't know. I was just like, maybe the Patino has
team,
a reason.
That team was mostly seniors, I believe, too. Like, most of their better players are going to be gone.
Okay,
like,
so this isn't going to be a developing trend where teams are just snubbed and they're like, well, we're not going to play anymore. We're taking our ball and going home. I was just wondering why Pittsburgh refused to play.
I do think that there might be a little bit in Patino's mind of, hey, next year if we're on the bubble, maybe they put us into the tournament, right? Yeah. Like, so he could be playing for a future year where he thinks that maybe his team has a better chance than they do this year. So, I mean, you just don't know what his reasons are, but I trust him.
Perfect transition. What was your number one team snubbed from not making the tournament, Baker? And obviously, Virginia should not have gotten in. So, who was the number one team? I saw Indiana State was like the highest offensive efficiency team in the country.
I would have loved to see Indiana State in there. I don't know. They don't have an argument over South Florida, I don't feel. I think South Florida was probably my biggest snub, possibly Pittsburgh. I mean, it's weird because they used to say like how a team was playing down the stretch had a lot impacted, to do yeah. impact in it. And I mean, Pittsburgh was playing great down the stretch. I mean, they gave in the ACC tournament, they gave them a game.
There's a reason I thought that the Pittsburgh coach deciding not to foul at the end of that game, the last 30 seconds, only down 7 points. I mean, if I'm a committee member and I'm watching that, I don't like that. I want a team that's fighting.
Yeah.
I mean, you make one foul, they miss two shots, you make a three, and all of a sudden that loss looks way more competitive. I thought the way Pittsburgh ended their season, I didn't really like that. So what I will, and that, now that kind of leads into Pittsburgh decides not to play in the NIT. I think there's something with the coaching that there's a reason why that happened there. I do think Indiana State was the biggest snub. I think they were net 26th in the NET. In the ratings, which is the highest any team has ever been and been left out of the tournament. So when you just start looking at historical information, like these teams that have a top 30 net standing, like they can win in the tournament. They can win multiple rounds. I think there's a lot of teams that didn't, that were put in the tournament that aren't capable of winning a round, and I think Indiana State was absolutely capable of winning multiple rounds.
I mean, the argument has been settled. They certainly would have played better than Virginia. I mean, the fact what Virginia did here is just completely unacceptable. And I think you're right, Baker. If Colorado State, listen, is the best team coming out of the Mountain West, which it seems to me they had the best win over Creighton out of conference. If they were the best team, you don't give them any credit for that win over Virginia. I mean, I texted my brother Dave with like 8 minutes left in the first half, and I said three words, put me in. I'm 50 years old, haven't played competitive basketball in like over a year now. I weigh 190 pounds, and I was like, dude, I think I'd fit right in. Lo and behold, 10 minutes later, Virginia still hadn't scored. So I don't know how many points I might have had, but I wouldn't have had less than zero. Tony Bennett, I'm available, dude. I got 4 years of eligibility. Reach out to the Sports Machine with Slim. Stay tuned for the number. Next quick hitter. If you could pick one player, and this is going to bleed into the last segment too, Baker, when we talk about who our final four picks and are and the winner. If you had one player you could pick today to win the tournament MVP, who would it be?
Tournament MVP.
RJ Davis for me.
Dave's jumping right in over the top of Baker, Sylvester Stallone in that movie. Dave just jumps right in. I love it.
I would probably go with Tristan Newton for UConn. I think you got your best chance of them getting all the way. I mean, you got to pick a guy out of those teams.
Who do you think's the best player in college basketball? Not like the most dominant, like a Zach Edey, because when he goes to the NBA, he's not going to do nothing but come off the bench and maybe, sub in for me after I've exhausted my minutes and eligibility and get drafted in the first round. But for you, you think – because for me, Dalton Connect from Tennessee, I'm real high on. I don't know if he's fast enough to create his own shot.
I got a guy that I think's a little off the radar in Terrence Shannon for Illinois. As far as a guy that could be the best actual player in the whole thing, it could be Terrence Shannon. I know he had 40 in the
semis.
Yeah, in the semis, and they needed all of them.
Yeah.
So he's a good player. I think Illinois is a dangerous three seed as well.
There you go. That's a nice preview. Dave, you said RJ Davis. Are there any other players under the radar, or what's the main reason? I mean, you just think North Carolina is going to win, and
it'll
be RJ.
It's all about who you think is going to win, right? So UConn is, of course, the betting favorite. So it would make sense that a player from UConn, if they win at all, they're going to be the MVP. So, I mean, if you're looking at Purdue, guess what? It's Zach Edey. If you're looking at Houston, it's probably Shedd. For me, it's North Carolina. But North Carolina has multiple people.
Yeah,
it could be Armando Bacot. It could be RJ Davis. And I think there's only, one or two teams, UConn being the other one, where you go, well, they have two or three guys on their team that could potentially be the MVP.
Sure.
And those are the teams that I think are most dangerous. When the teams that you know have multiple guys that could be named the MVP, like those are the teams you want to watch out for in the tournament.
Interesting sales point there to defend his UNC pick. Who's the most dangerous number two seed? I will go first to give you guys a chance to think about this, because two seeds are Tennessee, Marquette, Arizona, Iowa State. As I look at my filled out bracket here, I got Marquette going to the final game. So I'm going to say it is Marquette is my most dangerous number two seed. And I guess that would make that Kolick guy maybe the dude I would pick to be MVP, right? For them to get there, he probably has to come through, no, Baker?
I would say, yeah, for sure. I mean, if they're going to get there, he's going to be the guy that's kind of the trigger man for them.
Who's your most dangerous number two?
What's his health status?
He should be back. They're saying he's going to be back. He said he could have played in the conference tournament if he had to.
We're going towards commercial, so let's rapid fire with it. Who's your most dangerous number two seed?
I mean, I would go with probably Tennessee.
I'm Marquette.
I'm not going to steal your Marquette, so I'll go with Tennessee.
Dalton Connect. I mean, you're bringing back some hopes from me from the last month or two, where I was saying Tennessee was my pick to go all the way.
They're just interesting to me. They've always been a defense-first team, defense-first coach, and this year they actually score. So it's like, can he get them to turn on their D and play like a team that
wants to make a tournament run?
A past Tennessee team. Yeah.
Can we get you listeners to fill out a winning bracket? That's what we're trying to do today. We got one more segment coming up here with our predictions on who will be in the Final Four and the winners. The Sports Machine with Slim, NCAA Tournament Preview on WKXL Radio, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, 101.9 FM in Manchester. We'll be right back. I can feel the anticipation. You people have paper, pen in hand, ear just so tuned to that radio dial right now. Anxious anticipation. Let's give you what you want. I'm all about giving the listeners what they want, what they need. What I need right now from my two in-studio college basketball experts, MBD and Baker, I need 11 and or 12 seeds that are going to be dangerous and be the story of the tournament here heading into the Sweet 16. Dave, who do you like?
So I'm going to give you one quick piece of information. In the last decade, only two number 12 seeds have made it to the Sweet 16. 12 seeds are a big, a common pick for a lot of outsiders. They've known over the course of the years, but the reality is the last 10 years, 12 seeds haven't really done that well. Conversely, 10 of the last 13 years, 11 seeds have made the Sweet 16. 10 of those 13 years, and 5 of 13 years, 2 11 seeds have made the Sweet 16. So 11 seeds have been hot these last few years. And now you come into this tournament, you got 3 11 seeds. Oregon won their conference tournament. NC State won 5 games in 5 days to win their tournament. Duquesne won their tournament to win a bid. So you look at these, and New Mexico won their tournament. Like, these were teams that were going to be left off of the bubble. Like, they were outside the tournament. 3 of those teams had to win to get in. So now, which one of those teams is legit, right? Which teams are playing really good basketball? So I immediately go to NC State. They beat the top 3 teams. They beat Virginia. They beat Duke. They beat North Carolina. Now, we can think that that's just luck. Hey, they had a really good run. But that's a team where if they make the Sweet 16, nobody should be surprised.
They look great, Dave. They look great in that tournament.
They're playing great basketball
except
right now.
Except when they were down to Virginia by 6 with the minute left.
Hey, they're just playing good basketball, and that's what teams that are playing good basketball do. They win games they shouldn't. Everybody's going to find themselves in a spot where they're in a game that they probably shouldn't win, or they maybe the other team can make winning plays and they don't, a la Virginia in that game. But NC State, it's hard to deny. They're playing really good basketball. So out of all these teams, like, I think NC State as an 11 seed is extremely dangerous. On the 12 side, it's hard for me to really like the 12s. I just go to who I think is the weakest 5 seed. Because I think that the 12 seeds here are all, like, they're all marginal. They're all decent teams. But I think they're only going to win is if a 5 seed really plays down. And listen, I'm all out on San Diego State. I don't like San Diego State. So I'm all over UAB. I know a lot of people like San Diego State in that bracket.
I do. I like San Diego State.
I'm on UAB in that game.
Baker, what's the most dangerous 11 and or 12 seed?
All right. Real quick on San Diego State. I don't like them at all, Jim.
I do.
I'm going to try to get you to save some money. they lost to BYU. They lost to Grand Canyon, I believe they're a 12 seed.
But they have an awesome name, too, Grand Canyon and Drake.
Yeah.
I love the names.
I'm telling you right now, Grand Canyon at home this year, highly profitable. They cover every spread at home.
Interesting.
They're amazing. They have the best home court advantage of all the teams. They get, like, their fans go insane.
Because they have to play at, like, reduced altitude? Because they're playing
the bottom of the canyon?
No,
their fans are crazy. Like, we'll go on the TikTok or YouTube or one of those things and look it up. And Grand Canyon, you'll see their fans. They're insane.
See, this is what I talk about on the Sports Machine with Slim all the time about Boston area fans right now when we don't know how to cheer on our teams. And we're hearing it firsthand from a college basketball expert how important the fans are. Baker, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I got one more. So with that rationale, that makes UAB a little bit of a live team for me. I would say McNeese State is a team that I really liked coming in. I only saw them play in their conference tournament, and so that's how I kind of like started watching them. Did a little more research on them, but they're very athletic.
Playing Gonzaga, who's not
that
athletic.
They got a really good young point guard or a senior point guard, but a little guy that's real good. So to me, they're dangerous. I don't like Gonzaga.
McNeese. You heard it right there. I think that's how you leave people. You want them. No, I mean, he got one word of advice for you, McNeese.
Yeah, I mean, McNeese beat UAB by 20, so out of conference. So that's not a bad win. They beat Michigan by 11 at the beginning of the season. Michigan was terrible this year, but at the beginning of the season, Michigan wasn't horrible. They played neck and neck with Florida, so they beat VCU by 11.
I've been in this game a long time. Just what you're telling me right here. I don't feel McNeese is going to be blown out by Gonzaga. Watching Gonzaga, they lost their best players from last year. Drew Timmy isn't there, and the Strother guy, Dave and I have talked a bit about. Gonzaga's not as good as they were last year when they made it to the Final Four.
They got
last
a great
year,
coach,
right?
So he's a good coach. That's what I was hoping McNeese would get a different matchup, to be honest, because I'm looking at it more from a betting perspective. And not so much for the brackets themselves, but like I wanted to see McNeese versus someone else, like
San Diego State.
Yeah, exactly.
All right,
that would have been nice.
Let's do this. Let's give everybody our final four picks and go to the final two, and then at the end, let's talk about what we think the game of the tournament is going to be. Because if we're correct with that prediction, it'll just be cool to play it back in 2 or 3 weeks to say, "Hey, this was the best game of the tournament or the biggest upset. For my Final Four, so people know, I got Creighton, I got Marquette, Auburn, UNC. I got UNC playing Marquette in the finals. UNC I have as the national champion. That's my prediction. What do you say, Dave?
All right, so I got Auburn coming out of the East. I think they were a bad matchup for UConn. I think they find a way to win that game, and they deny UConn the first back-to-back in whatever it's been, 15, 16 years. I like UNC out of the West. I like Duke out of the South. The Midwest has caused me a ton of heartburn because I think that bracket is wide open. I actually think South Carolina is a 6 seed. Is a sleeper to come out of there. They were picked to be dead last in the SEC. They've defied expectations all year. I think that's a rallying cry for that team. So that's a long shot to get in there. I'm going to play them because I just think that that bracket's wide open.
Oregon stinks. I want people to know Pac-12 absolutely dog poo, stinky, like week old fart in a tight room that no escape. I think Pac-12 is horrific.
So I'm with you. I don't like the Pac-12, but that leaves me with UNC Auburn, and I like UNC, and then it's Duke on the other side versus that South Carolina team, and I think I'm going to go with UNC Duke. I the Blue Bloods rule. I know nobody's picking that, but I just think that that's the if that's the final matchup, people are going to love it, and I got UNC as my national champion as well.
Baker, the floor is yours.
All right. Well, I'm going to be honest here. I have not filled out a bracket prior to this show, so
well,
I'm glad I was just doing it.
He's been in the
again,
lab with the pen and the pad.
I look at everything through a betting lens, so I'm not really, like, the bracket to me is just kind of secondary, but I would say I like UConn coming out of the East. I could see a little trouble possibly with Auburn, possibly with Illinois, but I think UConn will get out from there. I mean, North Carolina's just path looks so easy to me. Just looking, like I'm not even looking at it, filling out a bracket-wise, just looking at that teams in that region. Maybe Baylor.
I got North Carolina playing Baylor
so,
in the Elite Eight.
So UConn, North Carolina on that side. I'm going to take Kentucky from the South just to be a little somewhat contrarian. I think Duke will beat Houston. A Duke Kentucky matchup, I could see that going either way. Like, I'd probably maybe even lean towards Duke, but I'm going to take Kentucky just because I kind of like them. And then I'm going to go with Tennessee in the Midwest. And I was kind of hoping that if McCullers had played for Kansas, I lost so much money with Kansas this year.
Just get it all back.
Oh, my God. And it's just, they just crushed me. I mean, I had a couple nice wins with them, but I could have saw them kind of coming together.
Right.
I mean, you got guys on that team that have been through a lot of, you know, the point guard Harris and McCullers and then adding Hunter Dickinson. I mean, people forget Dickinson was in, what, a Elite Eight with
Michigan.
So,
yep.
You
big
know,
man.
But
yep. So there you go, South Carolina.
And you got UConn winning it all.
Kentucky.
I got UConn, Kentucky, and then in that game, I will take, you know, I'm just going to take Kentucky in that way. If it happens, I'll look cool.
You will look incredible. Right? You say it loud and proud.
Yeah,
you're
Kentucky
picking Kentucky
to win it all.
To win it all. My game of the tournament, as we rewind things, I'm going to say it's UConn against Auburn. Because if UConn's going down, it's going to be a dogfight, and I just can see Bruce Pearl, like, ripping off his shirt, flexing at halftime or something, and getting his guys just totally jacked up out of their mind to play defense, because you got to beat defense to play defense to beat UConn. So that will be my tournament game of the year. Dave, you got one that you're kind of looking forward to, or you think you might be looking forward to?
No, listen, I mean, the styles make the fight. So I think as the tournament progresses, you're going to find those. But I'll tell you right now, I that UConn-Auburn game, I think Auburn is a lock to get there. Like, I love Auburn. I love the way this team is playing at the end of the year. I think that they're going to give UConn everything they can handle. And UConn's not going to go down without a fight. So the game, if UConn is to lose, that's probably going to be your game of the year.
Baker.
Agreed. I think Kentucky-Duke would be a great matchup. But I love that Auburn-UConn game is going to be great. Two head coaches that are absolute maniacs. So.
There we go. We got predictions, and it sounds like we're all kind of on the same side of things. Auburn might be worth the risk for you to take to go to the Final Four, maybe go all the way. I hope you go all the way with your brackets, whoever you pick, everybody. Good luck to you. Thanks for listening. Good luck with the tip-off of the games that are coming right around the corner here in a couple of minutes. WKXL Radio, the sports machine with Slim, 1450 AM, 103.9 FM in Concord, and 101.9 FM in Manchester is where you can find us. NewHampshireTalkRadio.com.